Are we live?
What already finished?
Now we're live.
Now we're live.
Now we're
live. I realized I put it on the intro and I wasn't sure if the intro actually played, but now we're live.
All right.
Crippled System, episode 229.
229.
So you didn't update the header there? The header says 228.
It does.
Wow.
I updated it everywhere else.
Wow. Full
of energy today.
What are you talking about? Everybody's full of energy.
I took a nap and it didn't help.
It's 229 prime.
Yeah, I'm crunching and I'm not finding anything right away.
I'm not factorizing.
I need to get to some of the weirder ones like 17 and 19. You know, when you get to those bigger ones.
Yeah.
But not finding it divisible by any single digit.
No, it's not divisible by any single digit.
Yep. Did we all see El Pantro Negro?
Yes.
Pantro Negro.
Yes, it was a really good movie.
Yes, we should go announcements, though.
Okay. Announcements. Hello.
Hello.
That's Andy. That's David. I'm Nathan. There. Now we can go to announcements.
Announcements. 229 is prime.
Yeah, all right. I was feeling it, but yeah, I was burned on the previous false announcement. I should have trusted my instincts. Andy, did you have
an announcement?
No, I don't have any announcements.
Jesus fuck. There is a Pegasus event this coming Saturday.
Yeah.
Pegasus Games, Odana Road, our alma mater. And it is just a standard 75-point steamroller. Nothing funky or weird.
Not yet.
Despite being Rick Run.
Not yet. It might change. Who knows what happens in the upcoming week.
And registration for the event will be on Conflict Chamber. And I guess that is an announcement that they have the open registration type for events set up. And probably tomorrow there'll be a link going up on the homepage for anybody to submit an event to allow open registration or pre-registration for that.
I registered for Rick's event on Conflict Chamber already. Mm. Although one of my lists I don't think I'm going to take. I'm going to practice a different list on Wednesday. I'm going to practice a terrible list on Wednesday, but it might be fun
just
terrible.
Just to throw the locals off their game?
No, I'll probably play the terrible list.
Oh, okay.
Because it's terrible, but in a shockingly good way, and it actually did well for me in Mark 2, so I'll see if it works in Mark 3.
Yeah. Because I have that. Because I mean, I run into that it's like because people like tick against some of my lists because I don't think most of the locals actually realize that I'm bad at this game,
right?
And so they tick against the specific list I'm bringing, and that just wants me to go completely random. It's like, yes, you were expecting Harkovich. Here's Kalissa. Deal with it.
Well, Mike, did you ever play against me with Sturm and Drang and two Sacral Vaults?
Yes, yeah. That was a hell of a list.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm gonna play a Mark 3 version of it this Wednesday and see how it treats me.
We played that in Mark 3, didn't we?
No, I only played in Mark 2, I think. I don't know.
Sacravolts are...
Oh, no, it must have been Mark 3 because Sturm und Drang couldn't do them in Mark 3. Yeah. It was prior to any of the...
theme machines.
Theme, yeah. And so I didn't have theme bonuses. Sorry, Andy, what were you saying?
No, Sacravolts are... What kind of shots are they? Are they magical?
Yes. They're magical, yeah, and they bone shaker, so you take things over.
Sight, aren't they?
Yeah, they're eyeless sight, magical bone shaker.
So it's like it's a spell that they cast.
No,
it's just a gun.
It's a gun,
but
okay.
It has the effect of Bone Shaker when it kills things.
No,
okay.
So it used to be D3 shots. Now it's one initial shot, reload two using souls to reload, which is annoying in that you never get three for free. But on the other hand, you never only get one shot, so that's nice. But no, it's the double vaults because under Sturm und Drang, that army's basically immune to everything.
Yeah.
It's immune to shooting, it's immune to magic, it's immune to single wound infantry, and one of the vaults is unchargeable, which makes that half of your board immune to beasts and jacks.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of like playing Kalissa and minions.
Yeah. Sturm und Drang. And yeah, and the other thing, because the list I have in there right now that I was thinking about playing is my boy Arcadius with like seven heavies or something like that. Because in Will Work for Food, all those heavies having overtake is pretty sexy.
Yeah.
But that sounds too good. I'll probably just double vault it instead and have none of my lists that can answer somebody bringing seven heavies.
Well, that's good because I'll probably be bringing seven heavies.
Rask and Friends might be able to.
Maybe. Depends on what the seven or eight heavy list is.
Yeah.
As I recall from running Harkovich into Rask, the problem was that Rask had issues with the Cloud Wall. But
everyone has issues with the Cloud Wall.
Sorry,
besides Isle of Sight things.
And you don't
The cloud.
Well,
goes.
Yeah, because the last time I played Rast doing a Beast Brick, he only had one of the models that could hand out Eyeless Sight, so it was a problem.
Yeah, although, you know, handing out Eyeless Sight to a Dracodile is, you know, enough models getting Eyeless Sight. I mean, because a Dracodile will kill at least two Kador heavies. If it's raged and furied and charging for free.
Under feet?
Oh, yeah, your feet's annoying.
Yeah,
yeah, feet, and then you have to deal with the Marauders there that are getting additional die on all its damage rolls against it.
Yeah, that'll tickle.
Yep, nope, Cloud Dwellers suck.
Yeah.
I want anti-Cloud Dweller 2018. That's what I want.
Well, a few people
have... We want open skies, fuckers.
Some people have spells that get rid of clouds.
Yeah. Linus and Idria are in how many factions now, and they can just pop clouds? Maybe that's you should go into the Steamroller 2018 CID and say that there needs to be one of the objectives that just makes cloud walls go away. I mean, there's one. I mean,
I'm going to mod it. It's just going to be a giant fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, seriously, honestly, my biggest problem with Steamroller 2017 so far is how meta warping and corporeal is, and not just how meta warping it is, but how binary it is. That, I mean, other things like arm skews and stuff, it's not a question of you can either solve this problem or you can't. It's a question of how much you can. Incorporeal is in many cases just a question of, oh, you can't do this. The game is going to be entirely different. And just that having incorporeal scoring models is, in my opinion, I should say it is the thing in Steamroller 2017 I dislike the most, and it's about the only thing in Steamroller 2017 I dislike. So I'm hoping that changes. But that said, there's already an objective in 2017 that helps alleviate incorporeal. So I mean, it maybe wouldn't be a bad thing if there was an objective that popped cloud like walls,
magic weapons. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But the thing is, though, most people never take magic weapons. They usually either always take the Pathfinder or Healy. I almost never see anybody take the magic weapon.
I have taken it recently, but then again.
When do you pick your objective now?
At the beginning of the game.
After lists list are chosen, I believe it is before the die to go first, but I'm not
which
sure.
Might be, but the point is you can see if they brought 20 incorporeal models and then correct. Go, well, fucking A, I'm doing magic weapons.
Well, I've got Doom Reavers, so I'm right. okay with incorporeal that much.
Right, but. I know, but your point, like, people don't bring it.
Correct.
If they want it, it's there, right? It's not like they have to pick prior like you used to have to do.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping that the options for objectives, the Steamroller one, that's supposed to be coming out this week, isn't it?
The CID is supposed to start tomorrow, I believe.
Okay. Because I'm hoping that there's a lot more options other than the three. I mean, going back to classic objectives.
I don't know. I am fine with the three objectives in Steamroller 2017, because how many of the objectives were actually ever taken in 2016? I mean, I think the only one I may have once taken another one other than the one that just granted cover.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much has been said about the new CID for 2018. I'm hoping that it is just minor tweaks, because overall my view of 2017 has been overwhelmingly positive. I really like how it basically helps mold the game to what it is now.
Oh yeah, I absolutely love 2017. I have one qualm with it, and that's how meta shifting and corporeal is. Outside of that, I think everything.
But that's
is
not
great.
Even a Steamroller thing. That's a War Machine Hordes thing.
Well, it would be for everything except for the Wraith engine, it wouldn't be so much of a problem if it weren't for scoring and contesting. That it's just the having incorporeal affecting the scoring system, the scenario point scoring system is, I think, the only problem in 2017.
Yeah.
And the go ahead.
Well, I was going to say is you could probably just make it so when a corporeal model, if you're going to want to score a zone with it, it goes corporal. That way, it puts itself in some danger.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a tweak like that, or just saying that an incorporeal model cannot contest a scenario element, or that if it does so, it has to go corporeal. Yep. That I think would be fine, and just something that changes the steamroller rules without modifying the underlying base rules.
It is an extra bookkeeping step, but again, it's just a matter of sliding a token next to a model, yep, saying, are you in corporal or corporal? Okay, if you're in corporal, then you can't contest or control. If you are corporal, then you know you're one rank higher than your opponent, and then you can contest or control.
No,
right?
Sounds good to me.
But again, I mean, that's really my only issue. I mean, I'm one of those people, because I know that spread the net is the most controversial thing in SteamRoller 2017, and honestly, I love that scenario.
I just need to know if Gornus 78's kids are watching so I can swear or not. It's a valid counterpoint.
It is, yeah, pretty much. I did bring some food for everyone.
Ooh. What?
Has anybody that has watched this cast in the past ever expected us not to curse?
Oh, Andy brought Cheez-Its. And there they right go.
Back on the table. If you're going to insult them,
was it not called Cheez-Its? Whose kids were watching?
I don't know. Who cares?
Ah, fuck it.
No.
See what I did there? I swore. It was comedic.
It's going to be okay. Are you going to call them Cheez-Its?
Cheds.
They're Cheds.
What are Cheds? I have never had a Ched.
They're Cheez-Its.
They're not Cheez-Its.
Are they at least very excellent?
They're Australian Cheez-Its.
David, I wouldn't offer them to you unless they were excellent. At least in my opinion, they're
excellent. It's a trap.
It's a tarp.
Thank you.
Can I have an Australian Cheez-It?
Are you going to apologize?
I'm sorry, Cheds. You're okay. They're a cracker.
It's a cracker, but it has a very, very, I know it's like cheddar, but it's a very salty style cheese.
It's got that dusting of...
Yeah. I found out what kind of cheese it is. It's a pecorino, because it says right there, pecorino cheese on it.
Wait, they're called Cheds, and they're not cheddar?
Yeah. But it has a taste of cheddar, though, too. Yeah. It is pecorino cheese, which is like almost like a, not a mozzarella, but it's almost like a... What do you put on spaghetti?
Parmesan.
It's
Romano.
A kind of, yes.
Ray Romano. Look at the sound spiked when we both did our 21 impressions.
Wow. Oh, no. Mother's going to kill you. But I found out what kind of cheese it is and where it's made from, too. It's a sheep cheese. Mm-hmm. I did not realize that.
Made in Pecorino, New Hampshire.
No. It's an Italian cheese. So.
Yeah.
But
from Pecorino, Italy.
They are really good. A very good friend of mine. This was the result of my joke last week, mm-hmm, where I packed up my entire cube. Made my opponent think at, or not my Your opponent. Opponent. Made my coworker think that either I had quit or had been fired. And her life was going to be hell from then on.
Oh.
And that lasted for about 5 minutes. My supervisor was in on it. My supervisor called her into the office. And he was like, so we got to talk. She's like, what's going on? She's like, oh, what do you mean? She's like, Andy's cube is empty. And she's like, his cube is empty? Well, he was moving some stuff around on Friday, but I didn't know his cube was empty. They both come out, and then I'm sitting there.
Blackberry. Gornus 78 asks us, what flavor of mead should you make for next year's ATC? Blueberry, blackberry, or peach, sour cherry?
Oh, so Gornus 78 is Sean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, good.
Also, that mead was excellent. The next ATC, I will do a bottle return.
Peach. No.
Blackberry.
Blackberry is the best berry, yes. Probably the best fruit.
Yes. I agree with both of those statements.
Botanically speaking, stuff like avocado is a fruit, and so then you get nebulous. But culinarily speaking, like things that you see in the fruit department, blackberry is way up at the top.
Yeah.
Blueberry is overrated.
Yes, agreed.
Cherry I like, but I don't like sour cherry beverages in general. I like cherry stuff a little sweeter.
And peach is one of those few things that I prefer the flavor of artificial peach flavoring to actual peaches.
I like peach artificial and real.
I like real peaches, but I mean just something like that chemical that makes peach knee highs is tastes better than peaches.
It's like I like cherry in real life, but I will drink cherry Robitussin. Like that fake cough syrup cherry flavor, like cherry candy, I love it.
You can just mix that with your mead. Pour it two together.
Sure. Mead and Robitussin as a drink. Yeah.
I mean, it's also like the blue raspberry, artificial flavor that tastes absolutely nothing like raspberries, but still everything that says it's blue raspberry flavor uses that same chemical.
Flip side is Andy and I have almost gone to blows over this, but the fake flavor of banana. Mm-hmm. It tastes nothing like banana. We all agree on that. Yeah, but Andy loves it. I think
love it.
That is the worst flavor.
Nope. Not the worst. It's so good. Bananas and runts, bananas and popsicles.
Yep.
I almost Jim comes over, watches movies on Fridays.
Sure.
And we always go to Culver's beforehand. And if you've ever had a banana split at Culver's, if you don't eat it right away, it is just basically a giant bowl of milk.
Immediately. Yeah. Like, I don't know what it is about bananas that makes their custard melt instantly, but like I take it from the counter. I eat it there.
It's
like,
that radioactive potassium.
Maybe. Go from counter to table. It's already a bowl of milk.
Yeah. Yeah. So we call it banana milk. And then I was at the grocery store the other day, and there's such a thing called banana milk.
There is.
Yes, there is. My kids love it. Arctic Circle talks about Laffy Taffy Banana. Laffy Taffy Banana is an abomination.
No.
Because it's that terrible banana flavor.
Nope, it's amazing.
But anyway, did you get some banana milk?
I didn't get any banana milk, but I almost got it to tease Jim because, you know, like I said, he always calls
the... You might like it because it probably is that terrible fake banana flavor.
They have banana milk and they have banana chocolate milk, which my kids also love.
That sounds actually really good. Banana chocolate is good. I don't know. But I like real bananas, too.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, yeah. There's very different. Now, what does a perfect banana look like on the outside?
It's yellow.
Pure yellow?
Yellow with hints of green.
Oh, no. Yellow with hints of brown.
No.
Brown speckles.
Brown speckles.
No. Yes.
No
yes.
Mushy bananas.
It's not mushy if it only has tiny... Yes. It should be like...
There should just be a little bit of brown on the creases.
A couple random pinpricks.
Yeah.
Here and there. Like, if it's like 50-50 yellow-brown, that's mushy, that's gone.
Yeah.
Okay, that you wait a little while longer till it's all brown, then you throw it into your freezer and forget about it for a year, and then you make banana bread from the black remnants of it, and that's the best fucking banana bread. But no, there should just be little freckles of brown speckles and yellow skin. No green left. You're eating firm, underripe...
Yep.
So inferior bananas.
No, I'm fine with that. I had kind of like a horror incident as a child with a banana.
Were you like on the internet where the spider was in the banana?
No. Okay. No. I eaten an older banana and I bitten into it and it had maggots in it.
Oh no, that's
that was not good.
It's protein. That's like that cheese that David eats.
It was like that. That was like one day I found a payday candy bar in my mother's van and opened it up and there were maggots in it and I did not consume a payday candy bar for 15 years after that day.
Yeah, yeah. So I won't if like bananas if they're on the counter and they start turning brown. I'm like, nah, fuck it, they're gone. My bananas have to be very firm. Like when you'd go to peel the banana and you actually just peel like the outer layer and then you have that stringy stuff that's on the inside.
Yeah.
That's usually the time I like the banana.
Oh, monster.
Not all the time, but I mean, I have tried to eat a banana when it's been that underripe.
But so speaking of artificial flavors, one of my favorite things in restaurants now is that the more and more places have Coke Freestyle machines.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Pepsi Spire is a horrible cheap knockoff of the Coke Freestyle.
I think
the theater
in Sun Prairie.
Yeah, the theater in Sun Prairie has one. That. It's just not nearly as good as Freestyle. No. They just don't have the same artificial flavoring technology as Coke does.
Raylene and I just went to Firehouse for dinner.
Okay. Firehouse Subs.
Good stuff. Got a New York steamer. Ha ha, Cleveland, we get it. But New York steamer, best sandwich on the planet. Mm-hmm. So, and I get the cherry limeade from their Coke Freestyle machine, because Firehouse specifically has a cherry limeade in there. Yeah, they got like the Wendy's. Bowl of limes right there. So I got the cherry limeade light, because, you know, the studies are inconclusive, but whatever. In my brain, fewer calories, diet soda must be better for you, because if you're drinking 700 calories or drinking zero, that's 700 fewer calories. That's a lot of push-ups that it's equivalent of doing. So whatever, that's my fucking logic.
You do push-ups?
No, that's why I drink the light stuff, so that it's as if I did push-ups.
Okay.
No. So
drinking soda in replacement of exercise is not the way to go.
If I drank regular soda, I'd have to do exercise to be equivalent caloric intake as the diet soda is my theory.
Okay.
So the point is, so I get the light cherry limeade, and I drink a fucking liter of this shit, right? In one of their American medium sodas. And so then I go up to get a second one, and I go into the light limeade, and I'm filling it up, and I look over in the corner, it has caloric value, and it says like 480 calories for the size soda I'm drinking. And I'm like, what? Like, I'm not doing regular by mistake. So I check, and I'm on the light, and I'm like, is that like glitched or something? So I back out, and I go into the regular, and the regular is like 700 calories.
Yeah.
Like, motherfucker, I just assumed when they said light, it meant like zero or 10 or maybe 100, not 450. Like, Coke has fewer calories than the light cherry limeade. How is it light? Put some fucking Splenda in there. Why is it still 500 calories?
I don't know. That's why I go through the. I mean, I am a fan of Mellow Yellow Zero and all of its different flavors, because it's like the one of my favorites of theirs is Mellow Yellow Zero Citrus Twist, which I'm not sure what it's supposed to taste like. It just tastes chartreuse is about the best way I can describe it, but it's tasty. Because I mean, I've gotten to this point since I have been dieting, and I love my diet soda. That since everything in the diet soda is fake anyway, I don't really care what it's supposed to taste like, as long as it tastes good.
I just get Fanta Zero Peach.
Yeah,
Fanta Zero Peach. Yes,
that is good. Peach is a good soda. Those were three decent choices and blueberry for the mead flavor. But I will always pick blackberry. I will
always
stab a bitch to get a blackberry.
I would like to try a peach. I think that would be good.
No, blackberry. This is one of the few remnants I have from being from the South, is an absolute love of blackberries.
Oh, they're the best berry. Like, I used to love raspberries as a kid because I had never had a blackberry. And I still like raspberries, but they're just,
tardy.
And that's fine. I don't mind tart stuff. As the aforementioned cherry limeade.
Arctic Circle says he does not think he could disagree with someone more than me about soda. Okay, so what is your insight into soda? And we will probably tell you why you're wrong. I just like your chartreuse
flavor. You should make like a synesthesia themed line of food.
Well, I mean, I'm serious. Is that if you're making soda, you might as well just name it by the color.
What flavor is this? Muggy. I mean, this one's rough.
There's red soda. It's just red.
Red cream?
No, it's just red.
Red?
Yeah.
No, I mean, because if you just said, it's like, this is soda, what flavor is it? Red. You would come in there with at least an expectation of what it would taste like, and your expectation would probably be pretty good.
Gornis is fairly close with Dr. Pepper's the best soda. Like, if we take the Freestyle out of it, and we're just talking mainstream, going to the store and buying a bottle, Dr. Pepper is almost as good as Mr. Pibb. So it's a close second ripoff of the best soda, and only because Mr. Green is no longer available, which was neon green Mr. Pibb.
What?
Sobe made a soda briefly, and it was called Mr. Green, and it tastes very, very similar to Dr. Pepper or Mr. Pibb, but it was just this neon green color when you looked at it. Like, Mountain Dew, but it tastes like Dr. Pepper.
Okay. I mean, Crystal Pepsi was a thing. I mean, clearly it's like this this whole thing of the color is purely an aesthetic thing and has nothing to do with the flavor.
So. Well, this was at the height of when people cared about Sobe. Nobody cares
about Sobe. Sobe
was really big for a couple of years. Yeah. So was Fruitopia.
Yep. I remember, it just happened recently. It was one of our last meetings for Shadows over at Brian's. I got myself some food over at It doesn't matter. I got some food and I got
I think it's a quick trip now because it's not PDQ anymore.
Two things of Sobe. I got the pink stuff.
Sure.
And I got some the lemon lime stuff. Yeah. And it was the worst shit I've ever had in my life. I could
Did it have little inspirations on the inside of the lid still?
I don't know if it had inspirations, but it tasted like paint thinner. I've had paint thinner before. It's not good. But yeah, there was
I haven't, so I don't really have a reference for that. I have not consumed paint thinners. I don't really have a reference for
that. Just the smell of it. You usually can taste the smell. I will say, though, what's an abomination for a drink is you had mentioned about the freestyle machines, and there's special certain ones that have certain things.
They have
and
some,
Wendy's has got some amazing ones. They have the Dave's cherry cream soda, which is really good. Dave's orange cream soda, which is really good.
Yeah.
And then they have their weird cherry root beer soda, which is an abomination.
I have not tried that. The red cream and orange cream sodas at Wendy's are both really good, I think.
Nirvana, that was the flavor of Sobe I used to drink. I'm just Googling because I didn't remember shit. Mango melon.
Apparently. I was going to say Nirvana is less informative of a flavor than blue would be.
Just makes you want to take a shotgun to your mouth.
You will.
Is that too soon? I mean, it's been like 24 years. I told you about my story about Sobe that I use it as a paint jar.
Sure.
It was back when I was painting my Kador.
And you drank the wrong one?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nope. It was when I was taking phone calls at work. I was working on the tech desk so I could I could do all the tech support in my sleep. So I was there painting my Kador minis, dipping it in my Sobe jar, dipping Kador minis. And so I had a nice pink looking Sobe jar.
Yeah.
And then I just had it at my desk and that's where it sat. And I brought in some food one day and somebody stole it. I'm like, fucking A, somebody stole my fucking food. So I thought, oh, I'm going to put that Sobe jar thing into the fridge. So I put that Sobe jar into the fridge filled with paint. Paint cleanings, and somebody stole it and drank it. Or they might have taken a sip of it and then threw it out. But
bastards.
Don't steal food at work.
Yeah, don't do that.
I like the cool inventions that people have made up, like a normal sandwich bag, but then they have printed on it, looks like mold.
Yeah.
And so they put their normal sandwich into the sandwich bag and it just looks like a giant moldy sandwich.
But then someone will just throw it away to clean out the fridge.
Yeah.
Or someone who likes mold will just eat it.
No. Fuck, I can't even keep bread on my counter for more than like a week and a half before I feel like I have to throw it out.
Oh man, depends on the bread. See, I've started buying better bread. Mm-hmm. Like I used to just do the dollar like white bread that you could squish to the size of a thimble because it was nothing but air.
And it was so good. It's good stuff. That way when you squish it, squish bread that way.
Yeah, I would flatten slices and good stuff.
So right. This is how you can tell that you don't have kids because I cannot remember the last time I've had bread go moldy.
No, but when I was a kid though, my parents, I could never, it would always be gone.
Yeah. But yeah, I've started buying like, you know, the loaf that's this big that costs $4.
Oh, did you get the Pepperidge Farm stuff?
Yeah, basically that kind of stuff.
The stuff but that's double bagged?
Well, the way you
fend off like a burglar with?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you squeeze it, and if I can squeeze the bread more than like a football or something, like if it gives, I won't buy it anymore. I want bread that has weight to it. And that, like one of those, like I just for some reason didn't eat sandwiches for a while and I had a loaf of that for like a month and it was still fine.
Mm.
Delicious. It's got fucking grains and shit on it.
Yeah.
I can't have like bread that has like the seeds and stuff like that. No, I can't do that. I can't.
It looks like bugs.
Yeah, no. They're not bugs. It just, I don't like it.
I'm like a Big Mac.
That's fine.
It's got little seeds all over it.
That's fine. I'm talking like more of the whole wheat stuff. Like you have big clumps of stuff in it, and I can't.
The loaf I have now has like whole like sunflower seeds. They'll just have like randomly just a big fucking.
Yeah.
The shell.
Yeah, Gordon says Ukrainian whole grain bread is great. Yeah, European bread in general is good. It's better than standard American bread for the most part.
There is, you can find it online, but there is a great clip of Conan O'Brien had just some crazy old man who had written a book about bread on his show once, like in the 90s. This guy, I am certain that he fucks bread. Like, it is amazing. And Conan is so uncomfortable with the entire interview process. You need to, viewers, listeners, pause, go watch that. It's funnier than we are, and then come back and be disappointed.
I watched the, I didn't watch the Obama one, but I watched the one with George Clooney.
With, I guess needs no introduction?
Or? Yep, yeah. With David Letterman. And that was actually, it was just, it just came up that first. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch the Obama one first. But
racist.
Well, I mean, it's
okay, Nathan Cook.
Oh, let me get a blue stripe to put across my screen here.
Oh my God, that guy!
But anyway, so
speaking of Nathan's Nathan's Facebook adventure.
Let me finish before you go into.
I've had a good week of Facebook.
Yeah. Oh God. But it was much better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was just going to be like a standard sit down, but it's really kind of more of like a, in a sense, like a biography. Yeah. It's a biography of Clooney, and that was kind of neat to see like the behind the family and that, find out what he does for refugees and such, and how our president probably would fuck him over taking in refugees and stuff like that.
Take that, brown people.
Yeah, you had an exciting week. Great week.
Today, I decided not to, although it would have been fucking hilarious.
Create a second account?
No, so no.
Go to mercenaries and talk to him?
I was scrolling through my feed, and I'm scrolling, and I get to, let's call it Rick W., his post, where he says, this pile of shit, Robert D., blocked me, and fuck that guy, fuck him, he's a shit, fuck him, shit, fuck, shitty, fuck. And then I scrolled to the very next one, and it's Rob D. saying, I just had to block somebody on Facebook for like the first time ever, fuck that guy. And they're just right there next to each of my feet. So I screenshotted it, and I just wanted to post that on my wall because I'm friends with both of them. And because of the blocking, Rick wouldn't have been able to see any of Rob's posts, and Rob wouldn't have been able to see any of Rick's posts. I was just hoping that everyone would fight on their behalfs over there. But instead, I just posted the screenshot in both of their statuses about blocking each other.
That's why I have to ask what the world wants to know, Nathan, is why are you so fucking salt?
Why am I so fucking salt? Oh, that guy. Apparently, he's just a giant shit heap because everybody on all the forums talk about he's the goddamn worst. Anyone who puts diversity in quotes when discussing like representation in games, like you put fucking quotes around it? Oh, my God. Like, I'm always sad when those people block me because it means I can't, you know, watch them burn anymore. Although I did,
You poked around a little bit.
I poked him a little. The way I poked him, I was very proud of because I went on the Minions group.
I'm not sure how much that qualifies because that guy already seems to be poked. Just in
that guy is apparently permanently poked. Have a good one, Gornis. So anyway, I go on to the Minions forum or group, whatever the fuck Facebook terms, forum. So I go on there and I say, hey, Barnabas 2, I think he sucks. Convince me to play him.
Yeah.
And so he posts, oh, it's not our job to convince you to do stuff. We don't have to blah, 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 blah. So I said, you're right. You don't. You are perfectly welcome to not participate in this conversation. Like, you didn't even have to make this post about making posts. Yep. You could have just not answered. And so he yelled at me for a while in there, and I just ignored him. And then later down in the conversation, he's like, well, you know what? As shitty as this thread is, it kind of made me think about, you know, making some new lists. So what do people think are some good lists to run with Maylock? And I said, it's not our job to come up with lists for you to run with Maylock. And I literally just copy-pasted his and just changed. Then he said something about sucking his fat one. And then I ignored it because it was adorable. Oh, I said, you're a pissy little man, aren't you? And then I went to work. because that's a good time to leave somebody. It's just saying, LOL, you're a pissy little man, aren't you? And then I was just doing stuff, whatever, and I look and I answer a text from Raylene, and I see, like, you have a message request. Yep. And I clicked it, and my screen just filled with vomitous bile, and then the notification that I could not reply because I'd been blocked.
And yeah, that was the point where he threatened you with starting another post.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I wanted more of that, he'd take it public with a new thread. It's like, okay, buddy. Like, somebody just blocked me like an hour ago because he was being all pissy, and I was just like, ah, dude, no, you're not being subtle enough. Like, if you wanted to be angry, you had to be less obvious with your trolling, 2 out of 10, and then he just blocked me. And then some other guy said that I was just the, like, sheep to the slaughter because I'm a liberal and thus I'm just a dumb sheep. And so the way he proved this was by posting 7 memes in a row about how dumb liberals are. And I'm like, you're posting 7 memes in a row and I'm the mindless sheep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
It's at least I'm happy that they are actively posting and being called out because I now know who to avoid.
God, and that fucking racist guy, though. The Nathan Cook. Holy shit. Oh, Lord. I do. I know that I'm at least keeping things entertaining because I went to work yesterday, and 2 of my coworkers were angry at me because they had work they had to do in the morning, like, or studying they had to do, and they were up until, like, 1 in the morning reading my Facebook wall. So if I could be somebody's version of marathoning Stranger Things where, you know, I know I have things to do, but I can't skip Nathan's Facebook wall. Yeah, that means I'm doing things right.
Yeah, no, also just incidentally, because I had a friend growing up in high school whose name was Nathan Cook, but he was not this particular asshat. Yeah. So, Nathan, if you're listening here, we're not talking about you.
Oh, yeah.
But if you were the asshat that was arguing with Nathan, yeah, fuck you.
We shouldn't really drop out names, but I mean...
Oh, I will drop the fuck out of Nathan Cook's name. He's a piece of shit. And I know that I had 34 mutual friends with him when I made that post. I have 22 now, so a dozen people wised up and saw my post. But no, he's a pile of horse shit. He called black people animals. He literally used the term animals to refer to the African American community.
Yeah,
like, fuck that guy.
Yeah,
I have no problem with other views. I have a problem with just overt racism and misogyny and xenophobia and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Pile of shit. Mm-hmm. Also, Tam Wolf sucks. As long as we're dropping names.
I'm not dropping anything. I'm really fine. I love and everyone.
Welcome to the Fuck Nathan Cook episode of Crippled System.
Ah, but I mean, yeah.
Jim Goff says the people might have unfriended me. No, because it was
mutual
maybe they did.
Friends.
Yeah, maybe they all just unfriended me. That's fine. Whatever. Fuck them then. If they take his side, I don't want them.
Yeah.
If you think it's a mystery of the ages why minorities choose, your term, not mine, choose to have a worse life than white people, you're an idiot and fuck you.
Yeah.
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 Speaking of which, Panthro Negro.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, we should talk about it. It was really good.
Black Panther?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I mean,
spoilers.
Spoilers. Okay, so we're in the spoilers.
There isn't that many spoilers in that film.
What?
There isn't really that many.
Well, there was
over-the-top
plot.
Spoilers.
Plot. We can spoil the plot. So we're in the spoiler zone.
Like, if I say, for example, Killmonger chooses to commit suicide by pulling the spear that Black Panther had shoved into his heart out of his chest, that's like a spoiler. For example,
that would be a very specific yes. Yes. But I'm not. How am I? What am I trying to say? I don't know what I'm trying to say. That it was the movie was really well done.
The movie is self-contained.
Self-contained and very formulaic. Yeah. It felt like, you know, once you saw the pieces start falling, you pretty much knew how it was going to end. Yeah. There's many surprises in that.
you know, like fucking armored rhinos. But I mean,
also I was going to say that's like the only thing I really didn't like about the movie was that the CGI on the armored rhinos was bad.
The CGI was very mediocre.
The CGI in like the first battle scene was good, but it was bad in the big open battle scene, especially with the rhinos and the Dora Milaje flying all over the place.
And they were
hit by the rhinos.
There were some very non-surprising things as well. Like I loved when. Is it T'Challa? T'Challa's his normal name. When he's talking to the Gorilla King guy, and the Gorilla King guy's like, I will not help you. And I just go, he's going to help him.
Yeah.
Han Soloing the fuck out of this. Yeah. Like, he's going to show up right at the end.
Yeah.
Surprise.
No, it was one of the few movies that even like Thor 3, I felt like there was parts of it that could have been, you know, explained a little bit better or just...
Thor 3 did not need a Hulk dick joke in the middle of it.
Correct. There's not much of Black Panther that I feel like I can nitpick at it. It was just, for me, literally just
the CGI.
Just leave Nathan to it. All right. But I really, there isn't much, and you probably changed my mind here too, but there really isn't much that I felt, I mean, other than... It would have been nicer to see more practical effects with the fight sequences between like Michael G. Borden. Between Killmonger and Black Panther.
Sure.
It would have been much better if it was a little bit more practical. A lot of it was just full on CGI dancing around. Let's activate Action Max or whatever from Running Man.
Sure, yes.
That's what it felt like for that end sequence.
Yeah, the end sequence fights. I mean that part of the fight sequence was better than the open battle with the rhinos, but still it was uninspired, and I kept waiting for there to be some point when he tells her to activate the vibranium dampening system, but it doesn't really affect anything.
It does. It
made it so you could stab them.
Yeah.
The weapons wouldn't have gone through the armor anyway because they were also vibranium.
Wow.
That's
steel doesn't inherently go through steel. I don't know.
Then
wouldn't it dampen the weapons too?
Well, sure. The handle.
No. The suits are nanites. So
they were like
splitting open.
Exactly. Or even when the dampening went away, the nanites would start to reform, but there was a delay there, whereas a spear is immediately still a spear.
Yeah.
Elevator temporary spear. Yeah. No.
You just wanted this machete back.
But I really liked it. The plot was interesting, good. Obviously, people are talking about how it's probably the best Marvel villain ever, because the only one with like clear, believable, understandable, agreeable motivations. Look at what Killmonger's doing and you go, yes, I understand. And in fact, a large part of me agrees and supports.
Yeah.
And that makes you interesting.
Yep.
I mean, that's the Magneto effect where. My biggest annoyance in the film was actually right away at the beginning. And this is a filmmaking, this is not within the film itself, oddly enough, but it's something that was done to the film, which they do a cold open, right? Which I love cold opens. Like, you do your trailers, you go dark, and then boom, you're immediately in the movie. Like, fuck all the production. Boom. I'm in. I'm deep. You got this really cool intro, the way they do it, the animated intro with the history of Wakanda, which I'll come back to that because something interesting that hadn't occurred to me when I saw the film, but somebody mentioned the other day that blew my mind. But anyway, actually, I'll say that now. The little kid and the dad there are not T'Challa and his father. It's Eric. And that had not occurred to me when I watched the film. Because obviously at the time, you just assume it's Black Panther. But looking back on it, that's little Eric asking about his home that he's never seen.
Mm-hmm.
Not Black Panther asking about the home where he lives. That's super fucking cool and subtle. But anyway, you do this in media res. Great, awesome. You introduce all this thing. You have this cool plot, blah, blah, blah. And then you end on a cool shot. And then you go, and that was a flashback. And then you fade to black. And you do present day, and we're into the film. Except you don't, do you? What you do is you have the flashback, you have the great sequence, you have the intro, you fade to black, and then you have a 45-minute-long bombastic Marvel Cinematic Studios fucking ad campaign that just yanks me the hell out of everything. And then you go present day Wakanda.
Yeah, you mean the Marvel yes. title screen? Yeah, I noticed how
either
how
do that
crazy
at the beginning.
It is,
and yeah. it has been that way for the entirety of the third wave of the movies. Because, yeah. but either have that at the beginning or have the balls not to have it. If you're gonna do the immediate in media res and drop me into the film, keep me there.
Yeah,
and that just pissed me off. But that's not the movie's fault. That's the studio's fault. Yeah, characters are all cool.
Characters are all good.
Famously just has the Tolkien white guys.
Yes.
Although then a third white person with a line showed up, and I'm like, hey, I was told they're only... Oh, she's dead? Okay, yeah. Carry on.
Circus was fantastic.
Circus was amazing.
Yeah.
He was like he's my second favorite Marvel villain now. He was amazing.
Yeah, he was... that was Ultron where he was...
He was in it just for a little bit, and he was okay.
A little bit of the second one.
But he just... shown in this movie. I was loving Claw.
Yeah. No, his character version of Claw reminds me so much of the villain from Into the Badlands.
Sure.
Or not really. Well, just one of the barons in the Badlands. He's not really a villain. Kind of he is. Kind of not.
But aren't we all kind of villains, Andy?
Yeah. But I'm excited. spoilers. Did you stay for all the trailers too,
or the end stuff? Yeah.
The end credits. Ah, man, I
get used to Bucky. He's your new Captain America after Chris Evans dies in one of the next two films.
Fuck! I just
no way that's not happening.
Is he going to be Captain America or White Wolf?
Who the fuck? The point is, Chris Evans is going to die. Let me change that. Chris Evans' character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to die.
What do you do, Chris Evans?
I will murder Chris Evans.
Oh, man. Nothing. He's just boring. I do not like the Winter Soldier at all.
Counterpoint. He's dreamy. And oh, no, poor
he's missing
him.
An arm.
Oh, I know. I need to take care of him and stroke his hair and look into his doughy eyes.
They're going to give
That's
him a
every woman you
arm,
know.
Though.
Really?
Oh my God! Yes,
did I assume Raylene loves him,
and Bucky? all my heterosexual female coworkers love him. My gay male friends don't love him nearly as much. They seem to be more into Chris Evans. But the ladies, I don't know if it's the motherly combined with the dreaminess, but for some reason, all the women I know who are attracted to men are all in on Bucky.
Yeah, I felt in a way let down by the final teaser. It was like I was expecting
what
something.
Was the mid teaser? Was there a mid teaser?
Yeah, the mid teaser right was the T'Challa speaking to the UN.
Yeah. About, oh, that's right. That's
about
right.
About opening up Wakanda, and the guy's like, "Well, what can you do?" And Bilbo smiles.
Yeah, and T'Challa should be like, "You know what? You're right. Yeah. Fuck you. I'm out."
But yeah,
where are you? Prussia? Prussia gets nothing. Everyone else, check this shit out. Like hovercrafts and everything, and the Prussians just start to cry.
Yeah, it's just like riding your motor.
Prussia isn't a country anymore.
I know. I didn't want to hurt a real country.
Oh, I was making
it's a place.
Cool.
Also, Wakanda's not a real country either. So,
yeah.
Do we know?
Well, then I mean, you could have at least said, okay, well, fuck Latvia.
How dare you, sir?
Latveria.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah.
I would never dream saying fuck Latveria. They have the best ruler ever. That guy's the best.
Second to the Sorcerer Supreme himself.
He's not a ruler. Sorcerer Supreme's a ruler?
Sorcerer Supreme is Doc Strange.
I know, but does he rule something?
But he is second. The person that rules Latveria is second to the Sorcerer Supreme.
In boggle proficiency?
No.
In height? In
sorcery.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like if Doc Strange bit it, then Doc Doom would be the one.
So how many? So this is a battle of the doctorates in the Marvel universe.
Yeah, they never touched on that in any of the films about him being like that.
No, they didn't go with magic in the Fantastic Four movies at all.
They did try. They did set it up gloriously. Like, I hated the first Fantastic Four just for what it was.
How dare you? Roger Corman is a national treasure.
I don't really count that one, but that one is fucking amazing. No, of this, of more of the cinematic ones. Not saying that Roger Corman doesn't make cinematic films,
The film doesn't count for various reasons. That's fine.
But the first Fantastic Four was set up perfectly to lead into a Doom-controlled Latveria with, you know, with immensely awesome things after that. The way they built Doom was still suck, but they could have gotten over that in the next one. Instead, they gave us the Silver Surfer thing.
Space
and that
Cloud.
And that was the worst thing in the world. But I mean, like, Chris Evans was really good in the first Fantastic Four as as the Human Torch. I loved him and Ben Grimm. Judge I thought those two were an awesome chemistry between the two. I could give two Fs about Mr. Fantastic. In fact, I don't even remember the actor's name. And what's her name is Sue was not really that much more memorable either.
Jessica Alba.
Yeah.
People kind of just stopped caring about Jessica Alba.
She's a pretty girl. She does act well, but I really couldn't see. It seemed really weird because Reed is supposed to be really old.
I feel
and
like
Sue is about the same age as Reed. If I remember correctly,
is he supposed to be really old? Like,
I don't think really old, but I mean,
like, I feel like in comics, really old is like late 30s. Like,
Mr. Fantastic's at least in his 40s,
probably.
And Doom was in the same college class, so I would assume that Doom would be around that age too.
I just love that the first Fantastic Four movie was delayed just because they saw The Incredibles and realized that you could actually be interesting with those powers, and so they went back and did reshoots because previously the only thing he did was reach under a door.
His fantastic powers and Roger Corman's adventure—that's so good. Him and I love Johnny Storm in there too.
The CGI.
CGI Johnny Storm is so good. My PS1 could render better graphics.
Good. Yeah. It's like they had a Philips CDI. They couldn't even get a PlayStation. Yeah. They had to get it.
Oh, okay. But yeah, no, that show took a really bad turn too. And Fantastic Four, the newest one, was...
How do the ownerships shake out now?
I thought I saw some article recently about somebody else picking up the potential bidding to purchase 20th Century Fox.
Right.
I don't think it's a
Fox
done deal.
Does Fox still have the Fantastic Four? Like, I thought that they got shuffled again because this last one was so bad.
No, they still own it. Okay. I mean, the last one was...
Didn't Disney try to buy Fox?
Disney was trying to buy Fox, but I thought that Disney or Fox had a different suitor for them. I can't remember who it was, but they renewed their interest after Disney, you know, said, "Hey, we'll do it." So that whole thing might not actually be, you know, fully.
Point
fully
is
happening.
We want those characters. Just homogenize it all. I mean, all the Marvel stuff.
They're so bad that Marvel took, like, basically they're Marvel's children. I mean, that's out of, as comparing it to DC at the time, Fantastic Four was something that was, you know, completely different.
Yeah.
Disney bought the film and television studios.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a full done deal yet.
I thought it was a done deal. I was surprised to hear you say it wasn't. And he's not looking like it is. Whatever.
Yeah.
The point is, as Jim says in the chat, like, if they can just no origin story, no nothing, just have Doctor Doom, like just some later down the line Marvel movie, they just go to Latveria and there's Doom, and he's like, "Yeah, I run this place. I have a backstory, but who gives a shit? I'm awesome." Like they did with Spider-Man. We didn't get the whole Uncle Ben shit with this Spider-Man because we don't need it.
We don't need that. I think we needed an actual true Doom.
Yeah, one of the headlines here is Disney won't get Fantastic Four rights in Fox purchase. So,
because they didn't want it. That was part of the deal. He said, "Well, we want everything except Fantastic Four. You bury those with the E.T. Atari games."
Nope. Update. To the delight of fans, the Fox-Disney deal has gone through with the Fantastic Four included. Okay, so Disney will soon return the X-Men to Marvel Studios with the purchase of 20th Century Fox. So...
Yeah, all right.
There you go.
So they can say Scarlet Witch is a mutant now.
Except now she's not, right? Because they officially made her genetically engineered or some shit because they were doing experiments. Yeah,
but they could use the word mutant to describe her.
Sure, they could say we mutated her. Yeah. Now she's called a mutant. By the way, here's this Deadpool guy.
By the way, all those Inhumans are actually mutants? Because this last season of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been freaking amazing, too. Holy cow. Have you watched any of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I saw like 45 seconds of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I saw Bill Paxton explode a guy.
Well, yeah.
Or did. Bill Paxton get exploded by a guy.
I don't remember exactly what happened.
No, Bill Paxton got exploded is
no longer in the show. So
he's right, because he was apparently like a villain in like season one or something. Because what I saw was like he was beaten and then they all leave. And then he's like does an evil villain laugh to show that he'll be back in the sequel. And then Agent whatever his face just ducks in and blows him up and then leaves. And big laugh from the audience. And that's the end of the season.
It's really good. The last season was really good with S.H.I.E.L.D. and this season is immensely good. This season basically they took all the members of S.H.I.E.L.D., teleported them into the future where the Earth has been destroyed.
Rude.
And
are there Sentinels?
There's no.
There couldn't be because they didn't have any fucking
no mutants. No, but there's I believe it's not the Kree.
Jaffa Kree.
No.
Chitauri.
I believe it's those. Are basically holding like mining colonies around the Earth.
We need
shenanigans.
The Skrull. Really not Skull.
Skrull.
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 Yeah. Skrull are basically ones that I don't know. I don't know the. That's all Fantastic Four. That's how they could introduce the Fantastic Four again is during the Infinity War.
Yeah.
No, too early for that.
But. Just have some shuttle get hit by some cosmic radiation. That's what they could do for a teaser at the end of any of the new Marvel movies, just showing a shuttle taking off with four people inside and then, you know, some giant cosmic wave hits them and boom, done, cut to black.
Yeah, so that's the other big question is that when is the in-house X-Men reboot happening?
I think X-Men is still going to continue. X-Men still makes a lot of money for what it does.
Apocalypse was
a piece of shit, but it's still juggernauting pretty well.
Well, I mean, Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman said that they were done with
right, but they
characters.
Moved past them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the young guys now.
Yeah.
So they don't
James need... James McAvoy is Professor X now, not Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, but they don't have a... those are like in the... take place in the 60s and 70s. There's not a... the current X-Men isn't present day, is it?
No, they're basically still present.
No. McAvoy age is in the past.
Oh, okay.
Because at the end of Days of Future Past, Logan gets back to our time, and it's Stewart. But, I mean, it's not like we didn't 45 seconds ago mention people being propelled into the future or anything like that. So... Or also, they can just keep it there.
Yeah. Also, Logan was really good.
Logan is one of the best films I've ever seen in my life.
Not even just superhero films.
I don't need to qualify it at all.
That was one of those films like like that in The Dark Knight. That it's just like it's not even it's good for it's just good cinema. It doesn't even have to be a comic book movie.
Unlike films like Dark Knight Rises, where it's bad for anything,
not
just bad for a comic book movie. Fuck Dark Knight Rises.
It has like the best thing in the world for a remix. There's a Batman dub thing. There's somebody overdubbed Batman jumping into his Batmobile or his Batcopter plane thingy flies away while blaring the music of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
That was very entertaining.
It's actually playing in the Batmobile like CD player.
You just hear it. Also hear it just like pan from speaker to speaker too as he's flying through town. Yeah. You just hear it muffled the whole time, and just bang, really?
Like he's got a ghetto blaster.
Fucking awesome.
I won't really say Dark Knight Rises was that terrible. It wasn't particularly good, and it was a huge letdown after The Dark Knight.
It was mediocre when I saw it, and every nanosecond afterwards, I hate it more.
Okay,
like. I remember more and more about it that was terrible and can't remember things that were good.
Like Batman time basically warping too. Like suddenly I am in the Middle East and then suddenly I am now in Gotham.
But
after I climbed over a wall.
His teleporting ability at least explains why he would spend hours drawing a giant bat out of gasoline waiting for a dramatic time to light it on fire instead of rescuing people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, been there all the time. You just, you know, he's got a button on the Batmobile that just...
Nobody's plans made any sense at all. Nothing made any sense at all. Everything was terrible. Everything. Why is that character's name Robin? His name is literally just Robin, just because you didn't think we were smart enough to figure it out if you called him Dick Grayson or something. Like, oh, it's a young kid that's Batman's sidekick. We'll figure it out. I can change his name to Robin. Also, hackers break into the financial district,
mm-hmm.
hack into everybody's bank accounts,
mm-hmm.
and those transactions apparently are legally binding?
Yeah.
Just surprise, you're broke now because hackers broke into your account. No.
Yeah, no, that's how it goes now.
People stole my wife's credit card. She didn't have to pay a penny for anything they did. Bruce Wayne, however, is just fucked forever.
Yep. Yep. You just keep it in your mattress.
So dumb.
That's how you're supposed to do. Keep it in your mattress.
I'm bored. Like, that's the thing. I guess I lied. There are good parts of that movie. They're just shit all over.
It's, yeah. And
most of the movie is forgettable. Correct. Is the problem. There are a couple of good Bane scenes.
The fight
Batman sequence. Just was not.
They have guns. Good. Charge him.
Just the breaking of Batman is probably like my favorite part of that film.
But it makes him worse. Something like, yeah. If you give me a bowl of shit, I'm like, oh, bowl of shit, meh. But if you give me like a delicious ice cream cone,
just New York gangster there for
a second. See, hereby authorized Duke Phillips to use my name and likeness anyway suits fit. See, yeah. Anyway, you give me an ice cream cone. That was a critic reference that I can never not make. You give me an ice cream cone, and I'm like, oh boy. And then you cover it in shit. That's worse.
You might not realize it's shit.
An ice cream cone in there.
It could be an ice cream cone. It might not look like shit right away. So you're like, oh, this looks.
Yeah,
it looks a little. Really dark and nutty for chocolate.
It's like the frozen drumsticks you buy with the chocolate inside of it.
Yeah.
You know, the Cornetto.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what it is. I'm like, oh, Dark Knight Rises. You got this. It's full of shit.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's pretty much.
He flies a nuke out into the harbor, and then he's just in France for some reason? What a dickhead move. Because either he just didn't tell anybody he faked his death, which is fucking rude to do to Alfred. Leave him a post-it note, for the love of God. Or that's Alfred's senile hallucination at the end because he can't deal with the fact that Bruce Wayne got nuked. And those are both terrible.
I thought the movie strongly implied that the plane was on autopilot when it had the nuke, and he just wanted everybody to think he got blown up in it.
Okay, well, he's a really fast swimmer then, because he can out-swim the nuke, because it flies away with him in it. So you're saying that he just kind of like jumps out somewhere halfway there, and none of us notice him jump out?
It has been years since I've seen the movie, and I haven't had the urge to rewatch it. But my recollection was that it was
implied. We can watch it downstairs right after this.
We can watch those 5 minutes, but yeah. No, he's like,
I could be wrong. I can't do it. I can't drive. I gotta fly the nuke away.
And then he flies, and you just watch it fly away, and he says his goodbye.
Oh, be good, Robin.
And then it blows up. So if he jumped out, like, no. Fuck it. Also, Jim's right. They misused Scarecrow, and that's bullshit because I love Scarecrow.
Yeah.
And no, they try to imply what you said by having him be alive in France, but there's no way what you said happened. They just try to claim it happened after overtly saying it can't have happened.
I remember the scene in France, so it was me sitting there. I was thinking that would have almost been a better way to introduce the Justice League at that point. Have Batman sitting at the paper and then maybe like reading something about like, you know, somebody from Smallville or something like that, you know.
There's Clark. I wonder what his mom's name is. Martha. But no, I will say probably that was the thing about the movie is that it is one of the few movies that I've never, that it's been on after I watched it the first time. I was like, yeah, I'll do something else.
Yeah.
It's just forgettable.
And I will watch Batman Begins and Dark Knight over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I will never watch Dark Knight Rises again. Batman Begins. Fuck that movie.
Yeah, both of the first two were really good.
Yeah. No, yeah, fine. I get that there was autopilot on his plane, chat, But the point is, they fucking show him flying the nuke away, and then it's like 10 seconds later, it blows up. So I get that the him being alive is supposed to imply that he turned on autopilot and then ditched out to fake his death, but he can't have done that.
Well, maybe his flying vehicle also is a submarine.
Sure. So he has...
So, no,
because he has a cloaked ejection device that falls out without you being able to see it with your human eyes. Avoids any splash, turns into a nuclear bomb-proof submarine that dives deep enough to not get destroyed by the blast.
Correct. That's Batman. He always thinks ahead.
Get the nuclear pellet. He has
a car that turns into a fucking motorcycle for no apparent reason that doesn't look like it could physically steer ever.
Just in case. Yeah. Well, you don't need to. That motorcycles just kind of turn. You don't need to have an axle.
That thing does not look like it turns at all. It just rolls in a straight line.
That movie's so.
Technically, you can still steer that way by leaning. You don't actually have to turn the wheel in the front. It just helps.
You have to have some.
No, you can do it. You can do it strictly, but you just strictly turn.
Yeah, but not when you got racing slicks.
I'm not saying it's a good idea.
If you're actually riding a normal motorcycle tire, you can actually turn a little bit because you're actually leaning on that edge. But the Batmobile / Batcycle, that was just like giant fucking racing slicks.
So does it just have to skid? Because if this is my wheel profile.
Mm-hmm.
And if I lean, all I'm doing is tipping it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's still going that way.
You actually get more of the steering force in a motorcycle from the lean than you do from turning the.
Seriously, like if you're taking your phone going forward and then you tilt it aside, it actually starts slightly turning.
But it'd be skidding the whole time.
I'm not saying this is a good idea. I'm saying it's physically possible.
Okay.
There are a lot of things that are physically possible that are bad ideas.
If you desperately need to turn once and it's going to be a Tokyo Drift style skid, but that's not a normal maneuverability.
No, this is dumb. It is physically possible, but it's still dumb.
It's kind of like the people that do the picture of like putting the push lawnmower on the front of a motorcycle or like a bicycle so that you can ride your bike while mowing the lawn. I don't know if you've seen that. If you're like, genius idea, you take like a bike.
Sure.
And you put the push lawnmower blade on the handlebars. So then you just bike around your lawn and it mows it.
Ugh.
Except you can't fucking turn.
Because
you turn though, like, no.
That doesn't sound like fun at all.
It wouldn't work. It literally wouldn't work.
Well, you get to go in a straight line though.
Sure, and then pick up the bike and turn it around, in which case, why didn't you just push the mower?
Yeah.
Fuck Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
What a waste of...
I'll have to watch it again, just so I can refresh it, so I can renew my hatred.
What's his face? Who played Bane? Not Ed Hardy.
Yes, Ed Hardy. Laurel Hardy.
Yeah, Laurel and Hardy. What a waste of a perfectly good Laurel and Hardy performance. He's good in everything he does.
Tom Hardy.
He's good in everything he ever fucking does.
Except for Bane.
Oh, yeah, no, he's right. Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy is good in everything he does.
Delete.
I don't know. I don't even
think... He was fine as Bane.
I messed up.
We're talking about Venom here. And that movie's going to be fucking shit.
How do you have a Venom trailer with no Venom in it, by the way?
Well, you saw Venom.
I guess you see
him
goo.
In a little cylinder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It just... They could have waited a year for this movie to come out. They could have had a small sequence at the end of Infinity War with Spider-Man finding, you know, the alien symbiote.
Yeah, fine.
Rejecting it, and then because Venom is
the rejection by Spider-Man.
From Spider-Man. That's what makes that thing not
the
be,
the important thing with Venom. And I'm sorry I'm interrupting both of you, but Venom's like my favorite comic book character, so I will geek a little bit about this. But the important thing about Venom is that it isn't a he, it's a they, right?
Correct.
Venom is a team. Venom is a group. And Venom, both elements of Venom hate Spider-Man for their own reasons, so they work together. It's not just a jerk with a magic suit.
Correct. And that's I don't know how they're going to portray Tom Hardy in here as being Eddie Brock, but... I mean, Eddie Brock lost his job because of Peter Parker.
Was he even Eddie Brock?
We don't know. He's a dude making a voiceover.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the movie. I'm not even sure if it's supposed to be the Eddie.
Somebody
Bach
in it is telekinetic.
Yeah,
I know that because there's a shot of like a bunch of shit exploding outwards from telekinesis. So, yeah, or maybe it's a sonic weapon that they'll use against him.
The trailer looks like they weren't sure if they wanted to make a comic book action movie or a comic book horror movie.
Right, or trying to make something dark like Logan.
Yeah.
Yeah, the solo trailer in front of Panther Negro was the best solo trailer so far. The Jurassic Universe was the worst Jurassic Universe trailer so far. And that movie just keeps looking worse and fucking worse.
So it is Eddie Brock.
It is Eddie Brock, okay.
I mean, because I know what they're going to try to do is they're basically going to show us fucking Venom. They're going to do fucking Venom. They're going to have somebody doing some weird experiments.
Show us Venom fucking?
Yes. They're going to do some weird experiments with the symbiote, and then that's going to create Carnage, and then we're going to have Venom versus Carnage at the end of the movie. So, and in my opinion, fucking sucks.
So also, while we're on the topic of Eddie Brock, was it like two Spider-Men ago when they had Topher Grace playing Eddie Brock, which pissed me off as a casting decision because Topher Grace would have been a fantastic Peter Parker, and if he would have been a good Peter Parker, that makes him absolutely the worst possible guy you can cast as
Eddie
Brock.
Brock needs to be Howie Long. Howie Long is Eddie Brock. That's like a big muscle-bound idiot. I'm not saying Howie Long's a big muscle-bound idiot, but the way he was in Broken Arrow, that would have been a perfect Eddie Brock.
My favorite Howie Long thing was that he wasn't allowed to look at the weather girl on the NFL show.
What?
He literally wasn't allowed to look at her.
By his wife?
His wife said you're not allowed to look at her. And so every once in a while, the other guys would give him shit. Like, they'd cut back to them talking, and he'd be looking the other way. And they'd be like, hey, Howie, look at this. Look at this over here. You got to check out the weather. And he'd just be staring the other direction because he wasn't allowed to look at her.
Adorable.
Yeah, because either he cheated on his wife, or his wife was insane, or both, because he wasn't allowed to look at the weather girl.
The Arctic Circle is saying, yes, that was Sam Raimi giving the middle finger to the studio for forcing too many villains. Yes, I think Topher Grace should have played Peter Parker in that series of Spider-Man movies.
Once his face was fine.
He was okay, but I mean...
I didn't like his emo phase. That was a little annoying.
Apparently the symbiote turns you into Trent Reznor in addition to everything else.
I was okay with that. The symbiote gave him confidence, but it was false confidence, so he was an idiot.
Sure.
That's fine. It's just that's what Peter Parker thinks cool is.
It's so sad, though, that Spider-Man 3 exists as a film for Venom, but it took away probably the best version or one of the best Spider-Man villains, Sandman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I can't think of the guy's name. Lowell from Wings.
Lowell from Wings.
He was really good as Sandman. That was the best part of that film. That would be the only reason why I would watch that film is for more of his performance.
And the other thing is the first two Sam Raimi Spider-Mans were like the two best Spider-Man movies. Like,
yep,
they were really good.
Prior to Homecoming?
I would say Homecoming's good too.
Yeah. I would say Homecoming is probably my favorite.
Yeah, Homecoming is my favorite Spider-Man movie.
Mine's the Homecoming, then Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. And actually, it's followed exactly that order: is 1, 2, and 3,
and then Amazing one and two. Yeah. So every series got worse,
correct? Except for
Homecoming. Some people like Spider-Man 2 better than Spider-Man 1, the Raimi ones. I would be willing to hear arguments that the Doc Ock one is better than the Green Goblin one.
Yeah,
it has a better villain. I mean, Doc as a villain was a lot more three-dimensional than the Goblin. I don't like the Goblin.
I don't understand
why he has to be in every fucking
You take
one of
them. Willem Dafoe and you make him the Green Goblin.
Sure.
And you put a featureless mask on top.
Correct.
Of
I know.
You have Willem Dafoe. Right?
Yep.
Also, the issue with Spider-Man 2 is because they went with organic web slingers. You have an entire movie that is about a man who can't perform physically and his body is unable to shoot white goo like it used to be able to.
Correct.
And it's like, okay, what?
Just a happy mix of the I didn't like the organic web shooters either, but I was okay with it by the end, near the end of the series. I've
it's
always...
an Amazing Spider-Man. They just have a closet full of spiders, any one of which will turn someone into Spider-Man. Like the janitor's mopping the floor and just trips and gets Spider-Man'd.
Oh, that movie is so...
Also, Jim's right. Dr. Octopus was not the villain. Well, okay, well, he's kind of wrong. Dr. Octopus was the villain, but Dr. Octopus was not Otto Octavius.
Correct.
The claws were the villain.
Yeah.
Evil claws.
That was okay, too.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, whatever. It made the, like, when he forces them to obey him at the end, like, a cool moment and whatnot.
God, I remember when he got adamantium claws in the comics. That was not good for anybody.
The best comic is still, and I think it's still, I haven't checked recently because I just kind of catch up on comics every couple years. I catch up to speed because it's ponderous to read them in real time. But I think he's still Spider-Man in one of the series.
What's that, the Superior
Spider-Man? Superior, yeah, Superior Spider-Man. I think that's still the case. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he body switched with Peter Parker.
Sure.
And then Peter Parker in the Dr. Octopus body died.
Oh,
so Otto Octavius just in Peter Parker's body as Spider-Man, and that's just who Spider-Man is in this series. And it's got great moments. Like, there's psychics, and he just has to avoid the fuck out of the psychics because he doesn't, you know, want them to find out. There's a great moment where he doesn't realize that Spider-Man can just, like, crush a car if he wants to. Like, he knows Spider-Man's strong. But so, like, the first time he's trying to fight crime, there's, like, a mugger, and he just punches him, and the guy just vaporizes. And he's like, oops.
That's like the
Superior Spider-Man is over. Parker's back. Oh well.
No.
It still is a really cool concept, and they did a lot of cool stuff with it.
But it's similar to when Superman had to replace Batman one time
in the Joker, animated series.
The Joker, like, or Mad Hatter, or somebody Mad like Hatter. Drops a fucking
Easter Island head.
Easter Island head on top of Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, and he like fought Bane, and he just like schools the shit out of Bane.
Yeah, out of body experiences are actually pretty entertaining.
That one was hilarious. The animated series with Spider-Man or with Superman as Batman.
You've always talked about this too, and I enjoy that sequence as well. Is where Lex Luthor gets his mind swapped with the Flash, and he's like, "Well, this is completely worthless," because he didn't want the Flash. He wanted somebody else, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, at least I'll know who the Flash is. So he goes into the bathroom, looks in the mirror, pulls off his mask, and he's like, I have no idea who this is.
Just some random guy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I think Venom is going to... I think that movie, without the proper antagonist. I mean, he's just without Peter Parker in that film. If you're gonna jump into Venom as a good guy type guy, it's not gonna work.
Maybe they aren't.
I don't know. Right? There's not enough information in the trailer for me to really make a decision. Other than, as I said, it seems like they can't decide on whether it's an action film or a horror film.
And maybe they get that right. Like maybe they do the Logan route where they do a harder core. Superhero movie, but it's more visceral, and they don't just squander it. Or maybe it's just utter shit.
Yeah.
But I haven't yet decided. I need more than just a teaser.
It's Sony, it can go either way.
Yeah.
If they decide to do a Carnage in there, I'm hoping that it is a horror film at the start of basically Venom doing horrible, horrible things to whatever, and then something splinters off, and then you have that character arc where Venom has to be good to combat whatever Carnage is. Yeah.
Of all the trailers before Black Panther, the one that I actually was most excited about, excuse me, was, Chet's got a good point. They'll have it be Eddie versus the symbiote, where the good human has to overcome the evil symbiote. Mm-hmm. But fucking Tomb Raider. That looked good.
Yeah, it looks like it's just the Tomb Raider games have been good. The games have been really good.
It's just crazy to me that Venom, one of my favorite comic book characters, and then a Star Wars movie and a Jurassic Park movie and all those, I'm like, yeah, Tomb Raider, you say? Like, that was just weird to me that of all the trailers, that's the one I was most excited about.
I don't know. Solo looked good.
This trailer looked better than the previous two, which looked like utter shit.
I don't know. It wasn't. No, I wouldn't say that because, I mean, the first thing we saw with the 30-second clip on the Super Bowl is like, okay, Woody Harrelson's in it. I'm going to see it.
Sure. It's going to be so, so cookie cutter formulaic.
Yeah,
you weren't here for this. Yeah, we're gonna make lists. We're gonna do a Boggle style. Everybody needs to make a list of the generic things that are gonna be in it, and we'll see who gets the most unique ones.
Yeah, because it's gonna be so solo.
Oh look, everything. It's the Kessel Run. Oh look, it's his vest. Oh look, there's a thing.
Everything that you have ever heard about Han Solo is going to be in this film.
And nothing that you haven't already heard about is going to be in this film. Correct. It's just going to be Han Solo Cliff's Notes in a two-hour bland action movie.
So, yeah, well, I mean, that admittedly, that is one of the things I'm really looking forward to is figuring out how they're going to do the Kessel Run and how he can do the Kessel Run in, and how he can complete it in a number of parsecs.
That's already been explained.
Parsecs are distance.
Yeah, that's already been explained. It's a routing achievement, not a speed achievement. That was canonical. I don't know if that got stripped with the rest of the canon or if they kept that part, but it was that the Kessel Run, a lot of it is with navigating gravity wells and black holes and other celestial bodies, and he found
giant octopuses.
Yeah, like giant fucking octopuses. And he found shorter ways. He was able to navigate it. Fuck. Yeah. It's stupid. What it really is that George Lucas made up gibberish and didn't know what parsec was.
Yeah, you see that was always what I had thought in the original movies was that was the point of it was that Han Solo was bragging about his ship and didn't know what a parsec was.
And maybe that's what they'll go with. Maybe they'll make a joke about how he doesn't, like, he'll be like, "Oh, we did 14 parsecs." He'll be like, "That's not what it means." Wah wah.
That's not what any of this means.
But yeah, I mean, I always thought that was the point is that, I mean, Han Solo is an idiot. I mean,
what? I love that commercial so much. It's a stupid Geico commercial with the old lady.
Yeah.
And she's got her wall and got all her pictures on the wall. Yeah. And it's like, talking to her friends there. This doesn't make any sense. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. All right, go ahead.
That was always the thing is that Han Solo is an idiot. There's he's always rule. Been an idiot. He just what happened. He has a set of skills, and he's good at certain things. Like at one point, he was good at smuggling.
Wherever you are. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, that was always one of the other things I took from the Force from the Force Awakens.
You okay, Andy?
As soon as I said that,
flashbacks.
Take the fucking elephant.
As soon as I said that, I knew one of you was going to say it.
I did that. The AV Club posted an article about Dark Man, and so I just responded with, "Take the fucking elephant."
No. That is
Sam Raimi and Liam Neeson at their best. Is when he breaks that carny's hand and they all scream and it looks like a goddamn cartoon.
But, sorry, Dave, you were talking.
Han Solo's a guy who fights giant space octopuses. Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, he was always an idiot. And I mean, maybe he was at some point good at a smuggler, but that was one of the things I loved about The Force Awakens is that, yeah, he and Leia split up and then he goes back to being a smuggler. And as it turns out, he's bad at it now because he hasn't done it in a while and he's too much of an idiot to realize this.
Well, he caught giant testicle monsters. That's impressive.
He didn't catch them. He was transporting them for someone else, wasn't he?
I thought that he caught them to then get them. Like,
he hired a bunch of guys to help him capture them, I think.
Right.
Yes.
So he succeeded in having a bunch of people capture things and then handily die off.
Yeah. Yeah. Arctic Circle says he also has a really high luck stat. Yes, that's all he has, luck and charisma. And he's an idiot. And, I mean, yes, he's good with a gun and he can pilot a ship, but that's it. That was the thing about parsecs. He doesn't even understand how space travel works, but somehow he still manages to do it and not die until it's mandated by the plot.
It's a navigating triumph. He routed a shorter route.
No,
Don't blame the EU.
Well, the EU no longer exists, so I'm going to fall back on who's just an idiot.
Parts of it still exist. They keep cherry picking things to still exist, like Thrawn.
Yeah.
It's going to be a terrible movie, though.
Yeah, so I think
it's going to be so
bad. Woody Harrelson's in it.
That's fine.
Woody Harrelson is probably going to be in it for maybe 20 minutes.
That's a lot.
I'm given a lot for there, but I think he's going to be in there mentoring, and then he's just going to get killed.
Has Woody Harrelson been in bad things? He must have been.
He's always been in bad things.
Like what?
Like what?
Like, I was going to be dismissive about Woody Harrelson, and I think he's got a pretty good track record now that I think about it. Really, Google? You think I want Woody Woodpecker? Nobody under the age of... Nobody Googles Woody Woodpecker. You're either too old to Google or too young to give a shit about Woody Woodpecker.
Or you're trying to look for an obscure porn.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, okay.
So you looking up Woody Harrelson?
I am.
I'm trying to remember, because I giggled at myself at two things during the show here. One was the stupid Facebook commercial.
Take the fucking out of it.
That too, but there was something
else. He's in Venom. Woody Harrelson's in Venom.
No.
Yes. It's the top thing on his IMDb. Did we just spoil something about Venom?
Okay, yeah. He was in 2012. That was a bad movie he was in.
But with Nick Cage?
2012?
That's got Nick Cage, isn't it?
No. Maybe.
I thought 2012 was Nick Cage.
No, I think 2012.
Him driving a car escaping an earthquake.
I don't know.
No, it's John Cusack.
John Cusack. Okay.
2012 is actually...
That's an entertaining film.
The film snob, and I will say 2012 is a perfectly entertaining disaster porn film.
It's like that in Battleship. Battleship is just an amazing sci-fi action-adventure game.
Zombieland, Defendor.
God, Zombieland was great.
Defendor is really good, too.
Defender's good. I never saw Semi-Pro because I hate Woody Harrelson. I don't know if Semi-Pro's any good. Not Woody Harrelson, I'm sorry, the other guy.
Semi-Pro's okay.
Semi-Pro has got... What's his face? The guy that sucks. The one who's fucking terrible, and I hate him, and everybody likes him. Will Ferrell. It's got Will Ferrell.
It's basically what
I like Will Ferrell half the time.
What Semi-Pro is missing is his buddy.
So you will say this is a bad movie he's in is No Country for Old Men, and that is you are the 75%
of that film is amazing.
I was the one that didn't like it. Well, no, it wasn't that I didn't like it, is that I thought it was overrated.
Yeah.
I truly liked it. I hated the ending was so bad to me, it ruined the whole thing. It's like I was eating a wonderful pie, cherry pie. I had the whole cherry pie, and then somebody snuck in like a little chunk of shit.
We
have shit inside our food a lot this podcast.
I'm talking about No Country for Old Men. Woody Harrelson was amazing in it.
Yeah. The worst thing Will Ferrell ever did was ruin
John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly.
No, he made two amazing films with him, and he needs to make more. Yes.
What has he made with him that was good?
His Step Brothers.
No, I said good.
Shut up. And Talladega Nights.
Sure, Talladega Nights is okay.
Talladega Nights is great. And I really like Step Brothers as well. Come on. There'll be more room for activities.
Yeah. Hunger Games is all right. Chad's trying to play off Hunger Games as a bad movie that he was in, and Hunger Games are fine.
Hunger Games are fine.
They're perfectly fine.
I mean, they're better than the other love stories that spit out around that time, too.
The young adult tale thing. Well, yeah. Yeah, they're better than Twilight's or whatever.
Yeah.
Wag the Dog. He was in Wag the Dog, which was also really good.
Yeah, he's in a lot of decent stuff.
He's got
a better track record than I was thinking. Like, mm-hmm. In my mind, I don't put that much weight on Woody Harrelson, but he's
one of my favorite actors. In the original clip, it's like, okay, Woody Harrelson's in it. I'll see this movie.
And his dad's one of my favorite hired assassins. You can count on that guy to kill a judge if you need a judge dead.
All right.
I mean, it's true. He was good at his job.
I wish I could remember what we were going to watch downstairs. Oh, I know. I know exactly what. All right. There we go. I got both things. What we're going to watch after the podcast here.
Is it Dark Knight Rises and The Bread Fucker?
No.
Also, if you do Google Conan O'Brien breadfucker, you find a link to the interview.
Do you? Because people assume the guy fucks bread. That is amazing.
It's not the top link for Conan O'Brien breadfucker, but it's on there. Put a space between it. Google gets confused if you put breadfucker as one word.
So are we jumping to? I don't think there was any zappity grumbles at all, but I didn't see any when I posted. But no, we had any recommendations?
See Black Panther.
Yeah, that's pretty much a given.
Okay.
I am going to recommend, and I wish I would have set my DVR to record all the behind-the-scenes sequences that happened after the episodes, but Waco on the Paramount Network is a really good series so far. basically kind of telling of the whole story of David Koresh and the escalation of events that occurred at their compound outside of Texas.
Until the chemicals they were storing spontaneously combusted in a coincidence during the standoff?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's... Oh, no, not spontaneous. I think the official story is that the tear gas reacted badly with it.
Something reacted horribly inside, which they're not up to. The last episode is coming up this week because it's a six-part miniseries. But they also have a nice documentary that happened after that, which I haven't been able to watch yet, is behind, you know, basically interviews with people that were in the siege, survived the siege, and that that would be really interesting. But the show is awesome. Michael Shannon, who played actually a really awesome Zod in The Man of Steel and
Neil Before Zod.
He was actually a really good Zod, but unfortunately he died in stupid...
Spoilers! But then Man, he turns into a crappy, poopy Lord of the Rings Apocalypse. Troll CGI monster.
Yeah, is it Apocalypse? Doomsday, yeah. But anyway, yes, Waco, it's a very good series. You should check it out. I'm sure it's on demand. It's very interesting, especially if you're somebody like me that, you know, I was... Not very old when that actually happened either.
Right.
It was back in 94, I think it was. 93, 94.
We were about the age where we were aware that something was happening, but didn't know what the hell was going on.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's the kind of the more interesting stuff to now as an adult see more info about.
Yep. That goes to the same thing with the People versus O.J. Simpson. That show was... It made me hate David Schwimmer even more because he was a Kardashian. He was Robert Kardashian. He was the one who started the whole clan. And it was David Schwimmer who did it too. So,
but David Schwimmer killed OJ's wife?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Right before he started on Friends.
Friends would still be the worst thing he ever did.
All right. If you look at David Schwimmer's track record, it's not very good.
He's not nearly as good. In general, the people from Friends do not have good track records.
I would argue that
the women do better in general than the men.
Matt LeBlanc has actually done well.
He has a lot of obscure comedies that are not up there.
But he's.
I don't even know the name of the guy who plays Joey. I assume his name's just Joey.
That's Matt LeBlanc? Yeah.
Oh, he had a movie where he played baseball with a chimp.
Yeah.
So I will not hear anything in support of his career.
He's done better than the guy who played Chandler.
Is that David Schwimmer?
No, it's not David Schwimmer.
Matthew Perry.
Yeah.
And Matthew Perry...
Cribbing answers off of the chat
before
room.
Drugs took over his life.
Matthew Perry's done a lot of cocaine.
But the gals haven't done much in that. I mean... Courtney Cox did the Scream series for a while. And
Aniston's done several things.
That have all failed.
Sure.
I don't think she's done anything ever since she broke up with
I was going to say that it's all failed. That includes her marriage, right?
Yeah. Wah, wah. And then the other one, the best she did Romeo she and Michelle. Did
was, okay, yes, yes. The whole Nine Yards was a good movie, yes. That Matthew Perry was in.
It was a good movie. When they said Whole Nine Yards and 10 Yards, I was going to say Amanda Peet wasn't on Friends. That's how confused I was. Horrible Boss from the Millions. There's some good stuff in there. Anyway, the point is, you might recall a while ago, EA released a multiplayer online shooter game.
Star Wars Battlefront!
Nope!
Oh.
Well, yep, and that's the problem. Because about a week before they released Star Wars Battlefront, they released another game that wasn't complete shit, and far too few people play it because they released Star Wars Battlefront literally right afterwards and did nothing to push that first game because they assumed Star Wars was going to pay for all their retirements. So right now, on sale, it's like $10 on PlayStation, it's like $5 on Steam, I guarantee it's on sale on the Xbox as well, get Titanfall 2. It's fucking amazing.
That was a year ago. It's a year old.
It's a year already? Well, they didn't back it.
Yeah, no, yeah.
They knew they wouldn't care. So, they just, like, sleeped it out. The point is, Titanfall 2 is amazing. It's on sale for less than you spend if you get a big meal at McDonald's. get Titanfall 2, even if you don't play multiplayer, because Titanfall 1 was online only, which was an issue.
It was multiplayer only,
yeah.
It didn't have a single player.
Correct. Titanfall 2 has a single player campaign that's a lot of fun, so mm-hmm. even if the online falters and dies, which it isn't, but it still has an online campaign, and it's dirt fucking cheap, and it's a blast.
I saw somebody posted that it was for $5 for Steam. My computer could not handle it.
Yeah, it's $10 on PS4.
It is? Okay. It's on sale through
March something.
Yeah. It is completely worth it. It is one of those games that, unfortunately, we'll probably never see a sequel to it again, but deserves a sequel. Because this last time around, all the shit that people gave for it being Xbox exclusive only and being
online only, like all the problems only, with it went away.
It all went away, and they put out a really great product after that, and it doesn't get the... It's
cheap. Get it.
Which is... It's EA, too. That's Electronic Arts. Oh, no, because they bought... was it Respawn?
Right, and so what happened is EA is doing its thing, right? So EA bought them, and they released the game, and then EA is going to kill the studio, and that's going to be the end of the studio forever. If the game had been successful, EA would have released Titanfall 3. Titanfall 3 would have been a horrific money grab abomination, and then they would have killed the studio.
Instead of Titanfall, it would be like loot box from the sky. Like a giant loot box lay down, and then you would open it.
And you climb into it and just fight things with the loot.
Oh, I was just thinking you would just either just get like 3 credits. No, 3 credits to your purchase of Titan.
No, just as a point of order, they would have killed the studio anyway. It's just it would be a matter of whether or not they kept the name of the studio.
No, they still get rid of that. It would be a matter of whether they forced the studio to release one more game in their beloved franchise that they defined their entire careers creating with their blood, sweat, and tears, but as a twisted shell of its former self after EA got it. So they either toy with you and then kill you, or they just kill you straight out. So, and since Titanfall 2 was not successful, they'll just kill them straight out.
Yeah, they Spartan them.
So this is the more merciful death, actually.
Yeah. They just kick everything down the hole. That's what happened to Visceral Studios, the ones that were behind
Dead Space. Well, to me, Brian would mourn that. I mourn more that they did it to Bullfrog, who are the ones that made the Dungeon Keeper series.
And Mythic.
Mythic. Yeah, well,
I know people that work at Mythic, and it was miserable.
Mythic, as in Mythic Entertainment, the guys behind Dark Age of Camelot?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah,
I'm still in their Kickstarter, but they haven't given me the game that said it was supposed to be out in 2014.
Well, that was Mark Jacobs, not Mythic.
Never kickstart a video game.
I know.
Video game Kickstarters are always terrible. Always. It's why as much as I love, like, 4 people sent me links to articles about the System Shock Kickstarter being a failure. And everyone, it's like, I didn't back it because as much as I love System Shock, I knew. Because what happens every time. They needed like $100,000 to make this game.
Yep.
They got $10 million from Kickstarter. Yep. So they went, whoa, let's make a $10 million game. And then they made a $20 million game and ran out of money halfway there.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Double Fine did the same fucking thing.
Yeah, at least for them, they were able to work it out.
They wimped to the finish line eventually. Correct. But the issue, what always happens with the video game Kickstarters.
Because
the board games, it is what it is, right? The most they can do with a board game is, hey, we have extra money. Let's make these cardboard tokens wood. It's like, okay, that costs X dollars. Done.
There's no
ballooning.
There is a substantial difference when you view one of your primary expenses as production as opposed to development.
Correct. Okay. And so it happens every time. They set a price, they get 10 times as much, so they try to spend all of that money, and then they do spend all that money, but they didn't make that game because that game's now over here.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm still getting a ton of updates for Camelot Unchained, which is the game that I backed a long time ago.
I'll pick it up if it releases.
It'll come out about the same day as Star Citizen.
Star Citizen's doing fine.
I love that the main developer's wife still posts updates about the progress of the game from the yacht that she bought with the money that people gave them. You fucking idiots. People still give them hundreds of thousands of dollars for fake spaceships in a game that's never going to come out.
It'll come out. It'll not.
It will literally never come out. It's vaporware. It's not even going to be like a No Man's Sky under delivery thing. It will never come out.
No Man's Sky is so much better now.
It is now. Yeah, absolutely. I've heard nothing but good things about its current state. I might pick it up now that it doesn't matter. In fact, I think somebody was going to give me a free copy because they don't have a PlayStation anymore. They were going to be that and Elder Scrolls Online. Mm. I need to bug that coworker.
All right, Dave, what do you recommend?
I recommend keeping an eye on the CID starting tomorrow when they go through SteamRoller 2018 CID, because this is realistically of everything that's going through CID, this is what is going to impact everyone's playing of the game of War Machine for a while. And we can actually pretend to be a War Machine podcast since we have all played War Machine recently now.
Mm-hmm.
Except for I'm not going to Rick's event next week.
Neither am I.
Oh. I'm not sure if I'm going to or not.
It's this week.
But we've all played. This week.
This coming weekend.
Yeah. It's this week. Saturday. This coming Saturday. Yeah. Those are all true of this week.
Yes, they are.
Saturday.
Yes. I don't want to get into a fight.
I am actually going to go, especially if you two aren't.
I'm not sure yet.
You can handle my list.
I probably, and you're just as rusty as I am. The list I want to play... If I had to make a list to deal with Cloudwall, I could, but it's not the list I want to bring. It's kind of like the same reason I never would beat Jordan at events. Like, I could have made a list to beat Doom Reaver Span. I just didn't fucking want to.
And I know I could probably handle David's list better now than I did on that Saturday. But the scenario might be different, in which it might be a more active scenario, which I couldn't
do. Oh, God, that's going to be the weird thing. Rick will probably use CID scenarios.
Oh, please. You know, he should Maybe. Not, because that should not be...
We all know something weird would come up the last week.
Oh, no!
That's got to be what it is. I guarantee you, Rick is going to run the CID scenarios. Yes.
He doesn't seem to understand that you need to set things in stone, let things go, and then roll. I mean, I'm fine with running CID scenarios on Wednesday night, but not hardcore on the tournament. But yeah, definitely, I agree with Dave. Check out the CID. I believe it's only a week-long CID around.
It's only a week, but as I said, this is one... I mean, if you want to come in and give some feedback to Privateer Press, this is the time to do it, because, as I said, the Steamroller document is going to be more influential to the way 90% of people play than any other... than any of the other CIDs that have come out.
And
they listen to the feedback. I mean, that was that when the Steamroller 2017 feedback was winding up. I know Rick ran a CID event, and we typed up a huge list of suggestions between all of the people there, and some of those suggestions made it into the 2017 final document. And I'm not saying they did it because of what we put together, but I suspect that our feedback...
I mean, suspect nothing. Cool. I will flat out say that Caster's not contesting is 100% from Madison.
Yeah.
Like, that is a known fact. We said do that, and they said good idea. And
yeah, because I mean, because we the document we put out was go from win by six to win by five. It was the casters contesting. It was make solos only score flags.
Well, the casters contesting thing goes back to Steamroller, like back. That's a back mark two thing. Like Madison came up with that like a decade ago.
Yeah. But yeah, we
not
I mean,
a decade, but I mean, you know, six years ago.
Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, we came up with changing the threshold, and because on the last iteration in CID, it was. Solos or warriors score circular zones, and only solos score or only warcasters score flags. And
solos one of our big things, flags, yeah,
yeah, ours was take solos out of circular zones and put them on flags. And I assume other people made that suggestion as well. But I mean, clearly that right. People, yeah. I mean, people.
Point
making,
is, we are brilliant and always make the right suggestions, whether other people do as well or not. Which means everybody else is irrelevant. They should just let us design Steamroller.
Yeah. We can
come
make
up
our
with
own
scenarios. Like Recon.
Yeah. Can you imagine the crippled system Steamroller?
I can, because everything I actually put into Steamroller is fucking amazing. I can point to paragraphs that I wrote myself and I'm like, you're welcome. Hey, you know how if you run out of time on your very last turn but you manage to just barely succeed in clearing a zone so you'd win if you scored but you didn't have time to say, and I end my turn and score, you're fucked? Oh wait, no, because now you actually get a final scoring check. You're welcome. Yep. You are welcome.
All right. Awesome. All right. I think that's it. We've been podcasting again for another 2 hours.
No, hour and 45 minutes.
I know.
And most of that was just awkward silence.
No, actually, it was hour and 45. I started that after I started the streaming.
No, I meant during it. There was lots of awkward silence.
Oh, yeah. The actual audio version of this podcast will be chopped down because I will run the truncated silence.
It'll be like an hour and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't chop off that much. Only like about a minute.
There wasn't that much dead air.
We're pretty good about keeping things live, and I just stumble over words all the time because I'm dumb. Derp.
Or because you're smart and your brain's too fast for your mouth.
No.
That's why I stutter a lot.
It's not
that. I'm thinking too far ahead. It's the same reason, like, if I have a sentence, if I'm going to say the dog went to the house, I'll pick up my pen and I'll just write a big capital letter H. Because my brain is all the way to house already, and not at the T for the. I do that all the fucking time.
I just forget things. I'm going to be a great old man.
You already are.
Yeah.